Well, you can open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Some of you are used to words on a screen and things like that, so these are new rhythms. You're not going to have that option probably outside for a while, so real hard Bibles might be kind of fun, or phones. You got Bibles on your phones, you always have that option. Just open there. We'll hit some points in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4. I'll be referencing more than I'm going to be reading a lot. I cannot tell you how proud of you I've been in the midst of all of this, going through the Emotionally Healthy Relationships course online, turning that into a completely Zoom-oriented small group discipleship. It was amazing to, finding the ways we can get back together and the healthy ways for you to find some new rhythms and see each other face-to-face and then figuring this out. And Saturday night, this is kind of cool Saturday night. I kind of like it. So here we are. By the way, there's a 10-foot safety distance that they recommend. So we're now about 50 feet. So I'm just telling you for next week, you can come in just a little closer if you'd like. I'm just going to let you know right now. We started this series. I started the series in the middle of the pandemic. One of our pastors just said, Pastor Ryan, I just feel like, I love the series we're in with Joseph. As we wrap it up, though, I know what you're planning to teach on, but it just feels like this would be the right time to maybe just do something in relation to our 8 competencies that we talk about a lot as a staff that, are behind a lot of the discipleship teaching materials and things that we expose you to. And especially in light of this. And I thought, I'm going to do that. I'm going to dive in. And so we did this Unfazed series. This is part 5 of the Unfazed series. And we're just going to hit. For me, it's really hard to just hit a topic and not stay on it for a long time. That is difficult for me. But we're just going to hit these because I want you to understand how practical it is to be a disciple of Christ in the midst of a season like this. And how practical in particular these particular competencies are. And we're going to talk today about confidently ministering in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, of all topics to want to open up to and be outside on the grass and not able to be near each other and not have an altar call, I'm telling you, this is kind of one of those topics. I'm like, oh man, we have to do this one outside like this, but we're going to do it. As we get into this series, this message, I want you to know this series, we've got a plan to kind of go do a deep dive into this particular competency in 2021. So if you're like scratching the itch a little bit today, I'm going to hopefully not just scratch an itch and stir something maybe within some of you, maybe within all of us today, conversations, questions that you might have had, things that you might be passionate about, wanting to learn more about, all of that. But I'm also going to give us time to pray at the end. And in that time of prayer at the end, we're going to have a chance to just say, okay, God, this is where I'm at. And if some of us need to move into a place of dependence on the Holy Spirit's power, that's going to be an opportunity. If we've got to repent for some things, we're going to have a chance to do that. We're going to pray in the end. But we're going to dive into this deep in 2021. But I want to begin just by, let me give you the first 3 kind of things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about having greater expectation, because in the topic of the Holy Spirit's work in the life of a believer, in the life of a Christian, if there's anything we have learned being in Orange County, California, is that we have probably gotten used to maybe a lesser expectation than what we read about in Scripture, for lots of reasons. And is anybody in the same boat as me on that one? When we travel and we do missions around the world, we see and experience even a lot of what we read about in Scriptures. But some things, for some reasons, our culture and our way, our life here, is just a little different. And we've come to accept and expect certain things at a much lesser degree than I think what God has given us the ability to and the promise of in Scripture. Secondly, we're going to talk about the obvious effects. There's no question that as you read through Scripture, you see the difference, the before and after picture. Now, it's not about necessarily losing weight and going on a diet, but as we start those things, people tend to take before and after pictures. Am I right? And we see all through Scripture all of these real pictures, before and after pictures, of the effect of the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a human being. Do you understand what I mean by that? So we're going to talk about obvious effects, and then lastly, we're going to talk about that this promise is for you. Because if you've ever wondered, is what I read about, is this life in the Spirit, is this promise of more power to become who God created me to be, to do what God's created me to do, is that actually for me? Or was that for maybe for them back then? Is that for maybe for a few people today? Is that for if you're involved in a certain type of ministry, then it's for you? And the promise is for you. And we're going to read Peter's words as he tells this audience, this group of people that have gathered because of what God is doing in the midst of them, that the promise is for you, and it's for your children, and it's for your children's children. And he doesn't stop there. He literally says, and for all who are far off, everyone who will call on the name of the Lord. So, now that we know that we are the far off, are you with me? It's for you. And I want you to know that, and I'm hoping, even as I begin this, just to stir up a little bit of expectation in you. So let's start with greater expectations as we begin to talk about this. As we think about discipleship, I know it's a big, broad word, but you could take just discipleship alone and break it into two categories. All that we need to do, or all these competencies of growing in our walk with Jesus, can be broken in two categories. One is our relationship with God and our understanding of who we are in Him, this covenant that we have with God. And the other category is this responsibility we have to rule and to reign, this whole kingdom thing. Like, what is our partnership with God in creation? That there's a relationship we've got to understand that we have, and this responsibility now that we've been called into. And all of discipleship is going to fit into those categories. And you're going to see it unpacked. And as we look at greater expectation, some of you who know a lot of scripture, I'm just going to hit stuff. I don't have time to dive in too deep on any of these things. As Jesus was walking with his disciples, he was trying to help them understand that there is something coming, a better day. A better day than the day in which they were walking right then and there. They were walking with Jesus. They were experiencing signs and wonders. They were seeing Jesus do all these crazy things, cool things. People's lives are being changed, transformed. Hearts are being touched. I mean, amazing things are taking place. And they're walking in that. And he keeps telling them, there's a better day coming. There's a better day coming. In fact, you're going to actually do more than I've done. In fact, you're going to do greater things than I'm doing. Now, let's just stop for a moment and think about how crazy that would be to be a disciple of Jesus, watching him do what he's doing and hearing him say, you are actually going to do greater things than what I just did. How crazy would that be? But do you see Jesus growing in them an expectation for something? Not only that, he tells them, that was in John 14 and John 16, he tells them, listen, it's actually to your advantage that I'm going away. Because unless I go, or when I go, the promise is going to come. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out upon you, and he's going to fill you. He's going to come and live in you. Like, it is to your advantage that I leave, because there's something coming that's going to be amazing, this new covenant. This is what he was stirring up in their hearts, a greater expectation for more, a greater expectation. And he was going to do something amazing. In fact, he tells them his last words to them that we have recorded before he ascends into heaven. Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1, both the last words of Jesus before he goes right before their eyes, right up into heaven. He tells them, guys, go back to Jerusalem and then wait. I want you to wait, and I want you to wait with expectation. I want you to wait in expectation because the promise is coming. And when he comes, you're going to have power. You're going to have power that you have no idea. You've tasted it, you've seen it, but you're going to experience it in a whole new way. Power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. In Luke, he actually says, wait until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, if you are listening to Jesus and you actually believe what he has to say, I'm assuming today that we believe what Jesus has to say. Amen. He was stirring up in them a greater expectation. There's more coming. There is a promise coming. A life-changing, world-changing, your life-changing promise coming. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out. You're going to be clothed with power. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian then and the life of a Christian today, literally it does this. It takes everything that you and I know and read about, oh, what it could be like, what it should be like, what it might be like, oh, how we are to live, how we could live, boy, how Jesus lived, and yeah, it takes all of what is now possible and makes it possible. I'm gonna say that again. It takes what we understand to be possible and makes it possible. It is the empowerment to become who he says we are now. Our identity in Christ, he calls us the children of God. He actually calls us family to become those people who reflect him and resemble him in the world. And it is power to do what he asks us to do and given us responsibility to do in our world today. It's all of that. This is why it was a better day coming. This is why he said, have greater expectations. It's the promise of God living in you, working in you, and then working through you. All of that. My question to you right now, if you're hearing me out on this field, is what is your expectation of discipleship, of being a follower of Jesus? What is your personal expectation of what the power of the living God could actually do in you? What are the limitations to what transformations he may be able to make in your own life? What are your expectations of how God might actually work through your life to be a blessing, to touch people's lives, to minister like Jesus in people's lives? Where is your level of expectation? A 10, just like Jesus? A 1, like, yeah, not much change in here. The before and after pictures, they've always kind of looked the same, and I kind of expect that they always will. Where are you on that spectrum? Because without question, as you read your Bible, as I read my Bible, as we read scripture, we find our God, our King, our Jesus telling us you ought to expect for more, because I expect for more of what I can do in you and what I can do through you. And I'm just hoping to start stirring up that conversation. I believe right now, as I'm talking, there are some of you who are saying, finally, somebody's talking about it, because I've been looking at the church for a long time. Maybe I grew up in church. I looked at things and I see a lot of not transformation out there, and I've actually gone a little bit cynical about the church. I actually got a little bit cynical about the difference that God can make in somebody's life. I haven't seen much difference in my own life. In fact, the reality is my expectations are it's kind of pointless. Doesn't really make a difference in our world today. The church, I don't know. For some, it's good. And that might be where some of you are at today. And I just want to say, his expectations are greater too. Just like you, his are too. He expects and offers us more. As you read through, you can go do the study on your own. If you want to just take the book of Acts as a great little course study, and you said it was going to be better. You said we should have greater expectations, that we would be doing what you're doing. That is better for us that you go away. Then take the book of Acts and compare that with what Jesus said to the disciples. And then you tell me if there was an obvious effect of the Holy Spirit being poured out in chapter 2, and then do the rest of the book. If people's lives were actually any different. What we see is we see the disciples go from a bunch of scaredy cats, terrified about their culture that was anti-speaking the name of Jesus. Just put it all in perspective here. They were terrified of it. They were locked in a room, everybody locked outside for fear of the Jews, it said, for fear of the religious leaders. And they went from that picture to preaching Jesus boldly right in front of them. In fact, right to them, the same ones who murdered Jesus. They went from scaredy cats to bold believers. Something changed. Something happened in their life. They went from powerless to powerful. We begin to see a holistic transformation. They went from people who were vengeful and wanted to call down fire from heaven if people didn't agree with them, like some people might maybe do on Facebook with their words. They went from those kind of people that were reactionary to how people treated them to people who were willing literally to suffer at the, for the sake of seeing people saved, to be a Stephen who it said was full of the Holy Spirit, who literally as he's being killed says, "Father, or gee, don't hold this sin against them. I want them to know you too," as he's dying. Transformed life. Different man, different person. Peter, a different person. We see them, the gifts of the Spirit working through their lives, just as we saw in the ministry of Jesus. Now these things are happening, working through their lives. The character of Christ starting to come out of them, fully empowered to live for Jesus in their generation. And that is the expectation of the filling of the Holy Spirit for the church today, is that we could live for Jesus in our generation. It's a different culture. It's a different generation than that day. But whatever generation you and I are in, the Holy Spirit is here to empower us to live for Jesus in our generation. Acts chapter 1, he tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's poured out. Chapter 2, upon them they boldly, Peter gets up, preaches to the crowd. Thousands get saved that night. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John. Luke gives us a, for instance, picture of what life is going on like. Peter and John are on their way to the temple, just going to worship God. They're on their way to church. They're on their way to be in the presence of God, and they see a crippled man, and they say he's begging for alms, and they say, literally, I have nothing, but I do have something. I do have something. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man is healed. And then they begin to preach boldly in the name of Jesus to all those who gather. And that whole scene ticks off the religious leaders and gets them thrown in prison. Acts chapter 4. Same ones who killed Jesus now bring these guys out and say, how did you do this? How did you do that to that man? Well, if you're going to ask, since you're asking, is what they say, since you're asking about a good deed done to a person, let me tell you whose name and who did it. Jesus did this. Acts chapter 4, verse 8 tells us as he begins to address them that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, addresses them. And then these words, and these are the words, at least for this message. There's so much I could say about the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. But these were the words that jumped off the page at me. And I want you to see yourself. And I want you to see your kids. And I want you to see whoever you love identified this way. Verse 13 of chapter 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated. Not that we want that, by the way. And that doesn't mean what it sounds like. Just means they didn't go to seminary. Common men. And they were astonished that they could talk to them this way. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. What if that was said about you? Everywhere you go, wherever you go, that person, Josh, he's been with Jesus. I see him all over him. My kids, your kids. Those people look like they've been with Jesus. That kid talks like he's been with Jesus. This person actually talks like a follower of Jesus. He loves like a follower of Jesus. He actually expects Jesus to hear him when he prays. He actually, what is it? That is why we do what we do. That is why the bridge exists. That is why RSM Christian School exists. It is preparing people to have that response to you and me, that our kids grow up actually filled with the Spirit and able to be said about them that they've been with Jesus. Able to be said about you that you've been with Jesus. What level of expectation in working of God in your own life do you expect? Some of us have lowered our expectations so far down that what we get out of the Christian life or expect to get out of the Christian life is fire insurance for a future day and some things to do on Sunday if I'm not too busy and some good coffee. And donut holes, don't forget. I get some good teaching on about how to treat people nicer, how to do nicer things, how to not be such a knucklehead. And he says, oh, you don't understand. Greater expectations. I am going to be poured out. My presence is going to be not just over there to go visit. It's going to be in you. And I'm going to be poured out upon you. And you're going to have what you need. You're going to have what you need. What is it that I need? In this regard, the sanctifying work, I can actually become like Jesus in my character. How many of you are sitting next to somebody who needs a lot more of Jesus in their character? Don't tell me. Don't tell them. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. We all could use more of that. But there comes a point in our walk with the Lord. I've gone to church long enough. I struggle with these things. I'm just always going to struggle with those things. I begin to identify myself as a person who struggles with these things forever. This is just who I am. It's part of my personality. Yeah, whatever. I'm just this way. And do you know that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out to you, in you, to fill you, and to change that area of your life? He can. He can. He can. He wants to. And he will if you'll let him. The last is the promises for you. And it just, Peter, as he's preaching to this crowd that gathered, the Holy Spirit's been poured out. The whole place is filled with his presence. It says, little tongues of fire now resting upon the heads of the disciples. And they are beginning to praise God in languages they never learned. People are hearing this commotion. They're coming around. What on earth do we make sense of this? And Peter stands up and says, this is that. You were promised. Our Old Testament prophets promised this day was coming. And this day is here when the Spirit of God is being poured out upon all flesh, all men, women, old and young. Every economic strata, none of it changes. Everybody has now been given access to the presence of God, and he is being poured out in your lives. And then he tells them, listen, this promise is for you. It's for you. It's not just for these ones over here. Not just for these apostles. This promise is for you and for your children and for your children's children and for all who are far off. He says, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive, you will receive, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for everyone whom God calls to himself. When we talk about the Holy Spirit in our lives, these two areas of our discipleship, our becoming like Christ, our living out of this covenant relationship with God that is so real, our identity is so identified as I'm a son of the living God. I belong to his family. It's like your family, your kids saying, I'm an Odo. I got a name. I was given a name. In fact, I've been adopted into a family, and that family, we do things a certain way. This is who we are. And we live out of our identity. This is the whole idea where the Holy Spirit comes. Romans chapter 8 is talking all about this life in the Spirit. And he tells us, I'll read it to you. It's this relational view, how he gives us security in the Father's love so we can live out this identity, become like this. By the way, it's not about not doing the bad stuff. That's the whole backwards process. I don't do these things to prove that I belong, that I'm a son. That's not true. That's not the gospel. The gospel is I am a son. Now, therefore, I can start saying yes to things I could never say yes to before. Instead of raging on you, I can actually choose to respond a different way. Instead of lying like I used to do, I can actually choose to tell the truth and take the consequences. Instead of my old ways of handling things, raging, being a jerk, whatever else I want to say, I can now let God transform me. I can have victory in this. This is what Paul is trying to help us understand what life in the Spirit is when he writes these words. If you live according to the flesh, the old ways, telling the church, if you live according to that old way, listen, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit, capital S, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the family of God. They're his sons and his daughters. They all belong to him. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. You received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. What happens is this, when the Spirit of God comes, when you accept Christ, when you repent and turn and say, Jesus, I need you in my life. I don't want to live that way anymore. I want to be a child of God. He comes, he says, I'm going to give you my spirit. My spirit comes in you. And know what my spirit does? It speaks to your spirit and says, you belong. You belong. You belong. He's your father. You're his daughter. He's your father. You're his son. And it begins to produce the security of your identity. It cries out, Abba, Father, I'm adopted into a family. In a way that I can never be unadopted. Covenant. It screams that. And then from that place, the Spirit then begins to put to death the old ways, the old stuff, our old flesh, our old habits, our old vices, if you want. Begins to put those to death. And then it goes on to say these. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. And from this other picture of this, the gifts. Now, I talked about confidently ministering in the gifts. And the reason I'm speaking about that is we have other, you saw being centered in the love of God is really what this covenant conversation is about. But in this one, a lot of us need a lot more help. Just to be honest, to be confident in, I don't know how to give a prophetic word in a way that isn't weird. How many of you would say that? Right? I don't understand how to speak in a language I've never learned. How many of you would say that? I don't know. I want to pray for people. I'd love to see them get healed, but how do I do that? And I don't want to set them up to fail. And I don't want to be presumptuous, but I would like to see people get healed. How many of you understand you understand the dilemma of not being comfortable ministering in the gifts. But that confidence comes, yes, from practice, but it mostly comes from understanding who I am to God. I'm a son, I'm a daughter. What authority has he actually given me as a son or a daughter? And as I'm living my life out in obedience, I'm a vessel ready to be used whenever he says. And as I learn obedience, living that out of who I am, these things begin. I begin to be empowered to live. And so he says, in 2 Timothy, speaking again of the Spirit's work in our life, he says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. That there is a way, the Spirit of God in my life has been given to me power, love, sound mind. That I can live out the gifts that God has placed in me. I can become the person he created me to be and do the things he created me and asked me to do in partnership with him. Now that is not an exclusive club. But we have become comfortable believing that it is. Or we've become complacent, some of us, not all of you, people like me, complacent. Believing that it is what it is. I don't need to really expect for much more. And if I could say anything to us tonight as a church family, I want you to know Jesus expected his disciples to expect. Are you with me? He expected them to expect more. And I hope that I can begin to stir up in our hearts a greater expectation to expect more. How would we do it? Let me just tell you those tools for the journey. We've talked about these different tools in the past, but all these tools, like the Lord's Prayer, if you actually understand the Lord's Prayer, it starts with Father in Heaven, right? It just reminds me as I'm talking, I want to relate to you as dad. I got to start that. I got to understand who I am to you. Your kingdom come. Ah, I recognize you're king and I got responsibility. Your kingdom come. I want to see your work in this world. I need my daily bread. This is where I say, Holy Spirit, fill me up today to be and to do who you've created me to be and to do. This is where I say, Father, help me be a good father, a good husband to my wife, father to my kids. This is why that's so important. Because I don't want to do that in my strength. Anybody want to try to do that in your strength? The Holy Spirit says, great, I can answer that prayer. I can meet you in this. Hey, you're stepping out of following me on this one. You're acting a little proud. Now you're kind of blowing it. For most of us, as we get into this arena, the issues we're dealing with now first, these transformational issues, I want to speak to those first. God will begin to do his work through your life as you allow him to do his work in your life. And most of us recognize there are some areas in our life that, man, we have just kind of phoned in. We phoned in on being transformed. Like, I expected a little bit. I got some things done, but I still have some issues and I'm not really worrying about them anymore. Or I tried. I've gone to classes about this. I've gone to this group about that, and nothing has really changed in my life. I just now understand more about why I am the way I am, but I'm not actually any different. And some of us have come to a spot in our life, in our Christian walk, where we're like, it's just kind of who I am. It's what I can expect to do. I'll just try to not do it so much. And he says, literally, I don't have that expectation for you. I want to help you put that part to death. This is the burial part of the baptism. This is the going under. I want to put that part of you to death. I want to help you put the flesh to death in this area. And I want to raise it up in power to be different. Different in the way you speak to your children. Different in the way you treat your neighbors. Different in the way that you handle that issue as it pops up. Different in the way that you, whatever it is, different in the way you speak. And some of you have some great before and after stories about how the Lord has done that in your life. Anybody have a before and after story of an area in your life that's been transformed? I want to see your hand if you do. You're not the same person in that area. More of Jesus in that area. That is the Holy Spirit working in you. But let me just say, don't stop there. Don't stop there. Because if people are going to look at you and me and they're going to look at our kids, they got to see that they've been with Jesus. They got to see that I've been with Jesus. And if they're going to find Jesus in me, in the way I handle, treat, walk, talk, speak, in my boldness or in my fear. And this is where it comes all the way back full circle to me. My biggest prayer in this season, as we begin to see our culture changing left and right in how they view the church or are afraid of these things, is that we would let the Holy Spirit stir that kind of all-in, wholehearted boldness for the gospel in us. Amen? That's my prayer for you. Let me pray for you as we close. Would you bow your heads with me? Sometimes we wonder how the change is going to happen. This is the part of our journey that if God is really God and he's really living in me, that I can expect him to do a work in me. That requires faith. That requires faith. Because rules won't get you there. And a formula will not get you there. It may remind you of things, but you and I have to step out in faith in this area and start believing that the Holy Spirit can actually do a work in our lives. In my life, I guess you don't have to close your eyes yet, but in my life, I remember many times I believed this. I remember many times the Holy Spirit would highlight a big area in your life and go, boop, this is a big area. This is not okay. Or this is an area that I want to transform. And this is what I learned. I learned I'll come to the altar And I'll keep coming and I'll keep asking. I'll keep making the choices to change. This is what repentance is, by the way. I'll make the choice to agree with you that this is not okay for my life. And when I find myself in that place or do that thing or say those things or lie that way, I will ask for forgiveness of those that I've hurt. I'll own it. And then I will come before you and believe for greater and say, Holy Spirit, will you change me now? I want to be changed. I don't want to live like that. That's not who I want to be. It's not who I am. And I'm not working harder to not be this way. I am literally throwing myself at your feet once again in repentance, saying, this is not okay for me. Will you change me? And I'll tell you, transformation comes. Transformation comes. It will come for you. I'm speaking faith to some of you today who don't believe transformation will come. It will come for you. It can come for you. Whatever it is, you are not too old for the Holy Spirit. Do you hear me? I can't hear amens from the back row. You are not too old for the Holy Spirit, and you're not too young for the Holy Spirit. He can transform your life. It starts with repentance. This is not okay for me. I'm not okay like that. But I know who I am in you. You are living in me, and I'm your son. I'm your daughter, and I can expect for more, for better. Amen?
Yes, amen.
And that's the prayer I want to pray for you right now. And if you're joining me on that journey saying, okay, I believe it. I needed to believe it. I want to receive it. I'm going to lift my hand to say I'm repenting. And I'm saying I'm dependent on you, Lord, to do this work in my life. I'm not looking for a book to fix me. I'm dependent on you to do this work in my life. And I'm open to that change. And that's what he's going to do. And it may not happen in a day. It may not happen in 2 days. It may not happen in 3 days. But give it a couple weeks and you're going to start to see something happen. Give it a few months. You forgot about it. And you realize, I don't act that way anymore. When did that go away? It just did. It just did. Let's pray. If you want me to pray with you, if there's some area right now that the Holy Spirit's saying, this is a place that I'm tapping right now and I need to repent, and you just want me to join you in the prayer, I'm going to join you in the prayer, and we're going to together take this to the Lord. And we're going to together raise that faith to say, Holy Spirit, I believe that you are the difference maker in me and that you can change me. So if you need and you want to pray that, just lift your hand right where you're at, right where you're seated, wherever you are, all across the place, in the house, in the back, top, wherever you want. Just lift your hand. This is your step of faith saying, yes, I agree, and I'm saying yes to you. Awesome. I'm going to pray with you. So God, I pray for your sons and your daughters, those who have come to faith in you, who are recognizing that we're such a hot mess still. The flesh is in there, but you promised us transformation. And we've tried, we admit we've tried to change, we've wanted to change, and we blow it and all of that, and we get discouraged. But tonight we have faith. We come back to your word and we remember the empowering work of the Holy Spirit is a transforming work. And so we say, I don't want to live that way. I don't accept that as okay for my life. That's not who I am. And just say these words. I am in the family of God. Just say that right now. I belong to him. He calls me his beloved. Period. And so, Holy Spirit, we come in dependence. Dependence on you. Not in our strength. Not in our ability. We recognize we need you. Now, will you help us? This area of our life, would you help us? Transform us. If it's our words, Lord, if it's our attitude, Lord, if it's our actions, our habits, whatever, in this area of my life, I surrender it now to you. Holy Spirit, strengthen me, fill me, and use me. I want to love like you. I want to be like you in this area. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And that is how, no matter what the area is, no shame and no guilt. That is not the conversation any of us just had with the Lord. Amen? He says, this is who you are. And I said, this is who I am. And he says, I've given you of my spirit because this is who you're becoming. And we say, amen to that. I need your help. I need your help to become that. And for a lot of us, we need each other's help. We need to know that there are people who love us no matter what's going on in our life. The best accountability group, the best fellowship group you'll ever know is a group of men or a group of women who will love you exactly the way you are and point you to your identity in Christ. Amen? And keep you moving in grace. So grace has its work in your life as you're being transformed. That's how we get to love each other through these things. And that's a privilege to be like that in anybody's life. In your life, in my life, for each other. That's a privilege. Amen.